We kick off hour number two of the program. It's brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Check them out online at tvacreditunion.com. They're open. They got you covered with app banking and online banking as well. Really, anything a bank can do, they can do it better for you at the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. It's the official credit union of Three and Out. And I can attest, we even refied our mortgage. The rates have been stupid low recently. And just a no-brainer to take advantage of that with the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. They did a great job. The service is impeccable. Attention to detail and the culture at the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union from the top, who, I mean, we've met the guy at the top, Houston and I have, when we were over there getting the whole thing set up, all the way to the people in the branches. I mean, it's incredible how everyone treats you at the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. And if you haven't, check them out. It's tvacreditunion.com for all the details. They've got great products, and the service is incredible. It's the official credit union of Three and Out right here on Fan Run Radio. So I want to get to some reaction. Vol Nation Recruiting says, talking about JG's start to the season and if he can improve going on, Crompton started the 2009 season with an L at UCLA, going 13 of 26, 93 yards, 0 touchdowns, 3 picks. He turned his season around pretty well. I mean, yeah, it's possible. Like, but I think it's also okay for people to just say that they'll kind of believe it when they see it, right?
Mm-hmm. That was Crompton's first year under Chaney. That was obviously Lane Kiffin. Yeah, 2008 was at UCLA. 2009 was at home. It was brutal. It was absolutely terrible. Trying to think. I think it was like the second half of the Auburn game that year where he kind of turned it around, and then, the rest of the season he wouldn't have bet.
See, but I don't know if that's good enough for Tennessee fans right now, is it? I mean, is 7-6, 4-4, you know, like playing in the Chick-fil-A Bowl, is that where fans cool with that this year? I mean, I know you lost that UCLA game.
I take seven wins.
And you won. I know you lost the UCLA game and you won the South Carolina game the other night. But, like, what? I mean, you're 500 in the conference. If you go 5-5 this year and JG plays as well as Crompton played in 2009, are people happy?
I think it just depends on how you look in those games and if you can keep it close against some of the teams that you've not even been in the realm of lately. I do want to say the depth chart came out for the Missouri game, and Jarrett Garantano is still the starter, just in case anyone was wondering.
Of course.
Thank you, Davey.
That's what I'm here for.
Breaking news. I mean, I do feel kind of better about Tennessee's ability to beat opponents on the schedule after watching everybody play on Saturday. I mean, I do feel like you're going to get some opportunities against maybe some of those top teams where, they don't have everything figured out. We focus so much on Tennessee's kind of COVID issues, contact tracing, guys being out, injuries, whatever. I mean, other teams have had major issues too. We talked about how many guys were out for Missouri against Alabama.
7. Because they got 5 back, I think, right?
Nah, that sounds right.
I wanted to talk about that whenever you're looking at Missouri and some of their players, because I don't know what to expect from Eli Drinkwitz. He's the type of guy that whenever he came into Appalachian State, he was already taking over a good program with Scott Satterfield.
Mm-hmm.
And he went 12-2, which is, I feel like even if you're inheriting a program, you got to be a decent coach to get 12 wins. No matter where you're at in Division I football. So I really don't know like what he's going to try to pull with a game that I think he might view as winnable.
I feel like Missouri got just completely steamrolled by Alabama early. They basically, it was like a Tyson fight. Like the game started, Alabama hit them, bam, bam, 14 points first quarter, 14-point second quarter, and the end was over. It's 28-3 at halftime. Like, it's just over. The fight is over. Unlike in boxing, you have to kind of play it out, right? Like, you can't just end it. And Missouri, so my question is, did Missouri find kind of their legs in the second half, which they actually won 16-10? Or was that, I mean, obviously there's some element of this. how much of it was Alabama just kind of taking their foot off the gas and working on some other stuff. Alabama went to the true freshman quarterback to give him some run. You know, I mean, Mac Jones was 18 of 24, 249, two touchdowns. I mean, it's pretty good. Six incompletions. Was that 66.6% completion percentage? And, I mean, 250 yards is pretty good when you don't play the whole game. And Najee Harris, 70 carries, 98 yards, three touchdowns. I mean, they put it on them. And then after that, like, I don't know how much of it is Missouri kind of figuring out what they're doing on offense, or was it just Alabama like, okay, we're done here? And how does that translate to this? I'm sure it gives Missouri some confidence coming into this game.
They average 2 yards a carry.
And they have Larry Roundtree back, so that's probably a lot.
I feel like he's been there for
a trenches
10 issue. Years. Sean Robinson got the start at quarterback. He was 19 of 25, 185 in a touchdown.
Sean Schamberger's back for the Vols.
Is he listed as a starter?
Yep.
Oh, he is?
Headed to Nico Slaughter at the star position.
Well, that'll help. That's good.
Well, Will Albright has retained his starting spot as the long snapper.
Yeah, first game jitters. He'll be all right.
Questioning that, but.
Nah, we're not punting anyway.
Connor Bazelak or Bazelak also threw 14 passes for Missouri.
Did he lead the comeback?
68 yards. I'm trying to think. I mean, I watched it a little bit just right at the end. And I think it was Robinson back in the game. I don't know. This is another one I probably need to go back and watch through and see if I can kind of handicap Missouri on some level as we go into that game this weekend.
Russell said they retained their defensive coordinator when Drinkwitz got hired. Is that correct? That's the same defensive coordinator that Jared Garantano threw all over last year? Are they better on defense? What did Mac Jones was 18 of 24, 249, two touchdowns. Yeah.
Bryce Young was 5 of 8 for 54. I mean, their numbers at the quarterback were good. Their numbers on the ground were actually not as good as I would have even expected, but a lot of that's sacks. And, well, Devontae Smith lost 12 yards on a wide receiver play, handoff, pitch or something.
Yeah, their stud redshirt freshman running back, 9 carries, 1 yard, long of 2.
Oh, yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah.
Probably running behind the second string O-line. But yeah, I don't know anything about Missouri. I'll just be honest. I got nothing.
I feel like it's Barry Odom's defense, so I don't know how much of a difference you're going to get for letting this guy kind of take over. I don't even know if he was the play caller last year.
I think he was. Sorry, man, Missouri. They don't do much for me. I'm not exactly terrified of Missouri.
I do think 13 is a big number. But I don't know.
It's 11.5 on my bookie.
11.5, no?
It opened at 10 on my bookie.
Yeah. Yikes.
So there you go. I don't know. Yeah. Missouri. Ooh.
I was trying to talk about JG's season, and then Davey brings up Eli Drinkwitz. Yeah, we don't know what Eli Drinkwitz is going to do because it was Alabama, and if you're smart, you don't call any of your – you don't really show your entire plan on how you're going to try and beat Kentucky, Vanderbilt, Tennessee, South Carolina.
Oh, you think Missouri? You think they laid down a little bit?
I mean, you probably just work on your staple plays that our coaches already know you're going to run.
So you think we're going to get the specials? We're going to get the good stuff?
Yeah, I would think so.
Okay.
I mean, it's kind of like last night. You saw the Chiefs run stuff they hadn't run all year because it was the Ravens, and they wanted to make sure they had it ready for that. Makes sense. All right, let's go to the phone lines. G3 Help Me Hotline. Sorry, Will. We'll go to John Tweet. We'll come back. Just hold that thought. John Tweet, what's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hello.
What are these chips? Is this, again, what's going on? You have to eat a chip? Why are you guys always eating weird stuff and filming it?
It's SEC Survivor, Tweet.
I feel like you don't listen every day of the week, Tweet, when you say things like that.
I sure don't. But it's not because of you. It's just, you know.
Scheduling.
I don't know.
Life and stuff.
No, yeah, he drew Missouri. They lost, and so now he had to draw an NFL helmet. He drew the Packers. The Packers' punishment was the one-chip challenge, the Packy chip. It's the hottest chip in the world.
Do they make do they Packers make these chips or something?
No, no, no. It's just the that's just we assign a punishment for each helmet. You just draw a helmet.
What's the country of origin for the Packy chips?
I don't know.
I'll work on that. I think it's America.
They're made. I'm just trying to get the background of the story so I understand it.
Yeah. Let's see here. Products.
Why?
They got a
I don't
lot
understand
of,
why people eat hot things anyway.
Well, this is a punishment, so he has no choice.
I mean, but why would you? Something that's hot or spicy isn't necessarily a flavor. It's just gross. Like, I don't. I mean, what's the point? Like, why order the hottest things on earth so you sweat when you eat?
Well, the point here is to make me suffer, but...
Oh, to punish you, okay.
Right, yeah. Okay. So, I mean, this is legit. It's but normally, I see what you're saying. I don't understand that either.
I'm trying to determine my level of charism this season, if that's a word, which it isn't.
I like it.
Like, it's on one hand. On one hand, I've heard people argue this. It's kind of crazy because you hear people talk about how this season doesn't matter. Just play, you know, whatever his name is. And then out of the same breath, rage because the quarterback overthrew a pass. I'm like, well, if it doesn't matter, what's it matter if the quarterback overthrew? I can't. So I'm trying to kind of figure out where I guess I and others should be. You know, you give them the benefit of the doubt, but you don't.
It matters.
You should see some things improving.
People say
I would say it matters.
People
too.
Say it don't matter. It doesn't matter. Or just like it matters, especially now that everyone's in. Like Big Ten's in, Pac-12's in. It didn't matter when it was just going to be the SEC and no one else was playing football. Everybody's back in now. Hell, Vanderbilt's going to allow a few kids to watch the game this weekend from the stands.
But will anyone actually show up?
I mean,
probably.
Is Tennessee allowing in 20? Is that the? I think the number's been set at what 20,000?
Yeah, something like that. That's close.
Is anybody within the station going in a non-reporting capacity, just going to the game as a fan?
I don't think so.
No,
nope.
I think I'm going. To
Charlie, maybe? Did Charlie get tickets?
No, he might have. I think I'm supposed to go to Texas A&M later in the year. Tweet. That's my one game.
I'm kind of curious as to like what the value of tickets. It's like. That's a weird one. So, and I'm also understanding Mays is cleared, but not cleared. Fake cleared.
Right. Yes.
Correct. NCAA said, yes, SEC, we wait. Apparently there was a vote yesterday.
I don't think it happened. There was.
They
was
said they could push it back. I don't
know. It was supposed to be one. I don't know that it happened. No one's reported that it even happened.
Is this like that fraternity that was on probation in Animal House? Like double
secret probation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Feels like that with Cade.
I mean, I guess he would make a pretty big difference. Or I mean, I would assume he's been practicing. I don't. He's been,
yeah, they
been
practiced.
COVID.
Like he's gonna start.
They thought. So yeah, they COVID planned on him being there.
From what I saw from Jerome Carvin, I think it would make a big difference.
Who weighs more, Jerome Carvin or T. Martin? See you, boys.
Yeah,
you can go to the game for $94.
That's nothing. Upper Deck.
Yeah.
Wait. Missouri?
Yeah.
No. 94.
Place a bet on him. Go to the game. Then you win. Maybe you get your ticket covered.
I got to be here.
Follow your advice you're giving out. You can probably afford a ticket.
True.
I did have an incredible weekend.
This says row A in double I. Isn't that a pretty good seat? Isn't that like in the little special section right in front of, right at the front of the upper deck?
I don't know. I've only sat in the upper deck once, and I don't remember what the. Don't remember what.
Or is it like? Is that the very top, row A?
I don't know. You're asking me a lot of questions. I don't know. You should probably just pull up a seating chart.
Oh, you can get in the lower level for like 115.
Nate, this article here says you need citric acid for tomorrow.
Citric acid.
Yeah.
I read that acidic foods
like a clementine or what?
No, lemons, limes.
The heat really starts to kick in after 30 seconds, and it will likely linger for a while. But rather than chasing the chip with milk or ice cream, what you actually need is citric acid. Carbohydrates can coat your tongue and delay that burn, but they don't actually put out the fire. What you really need is citric acid to break up the chili oil, and the best source for that would be grapefruits, lemons, and limes.
You like grapefruit?
No.
Okay. Me neither. Does anyone like grapefruit?
I love grapefruit.
I like lemons and limes, of course.
How do you love grapefruit? Do you put sugar on it?
No.
Salt?
Eat it straight.
Bologna.
No, grapefruit.
I don't believe you. No one eats straight grapefruit.
My mom used to eat
I mean, I don't eat it often. I don't go out and buy grapefruits, but if there's a grapefruit on the table in the produce little basket that we have.
Slice it in half, dip out the little section.
It's better than apples and oranges to me. Bananas are the number one fruit.
We have football now. We don't need to power rank fruit, I don't think. That would have been a great COVID topic. Way to bring stuff to the table after the fact.
That's how my brain works. You can fire me now that we have football season, but I thought I was brought in just for things that were not sports.
I don't know why you were brought in. You're just here. I don't know.
That was very nice of you, Nate. Thank you for that.
It's the same thing my mom said.
Chris is upset. Tennessee's only allowing 10% students.
Oh.
Auburn allowed 75% students.
I was wondering about that because somebody said Auburn was all students, and then they had tickets for sale. I was like, how are these students selling their tickets? But I guess they had a few. That's why their ticket pricing was insane.
Yeah, what was it, like $1,100 was the cheapest one?
Yeah.
Get that money. Students, I'll take it.
All right, let's go to Austin on the G3 Help Me Hotline. So what's up, Austin?
Morning, guys. How are you?
Morning.
I guess I would like to first start off by apologizing to Houston Crest for the mess he got drug into by Bear stirring the pot last week. If you go back and listen to the tape, I believe it exonerates me. I never mentioned your name, but one Mr. Bear did. So with that said, I hope you will accept that apology that you were even drug into the mess.
Apology accepted.
I will also say, after watching the game again, I think the reason I was so frustrated and so irritated with everything going into last week and then coming out of the game is due to it just all compounded. We all had higher expectations for that game, I believe. And then it just felt like it was one thing after another. It was the way that first drive started. And then it was the way that punt went. And then it was the fact that, you know, on the first defensive series, we let them march right down the field. But this is going to end on a positive note. It's Optimism Tuesday. Mm-hmm. I was very happy with the way the guys, they didn't quit. The first two games, the last 2 years, everyone on that team quit. So they didn't get out there and get their heads down and get defeated early. They came out, they fought. The offense started moving. The defense started playing well. I think a lot of the issues we saw were second half when it came to conditioning. That's really what I think it was. And that's just going to be from, you know, the COVID-altered camp. It is what it is. We're going to see that for a little bit. And hopefully, you know, this week after getting that game time experience, I know it's only one game, but that goes a long way when it comes to getting back to game shape. Hopefully this week we're ready to go out there and we look a little bit better shape going against Missouri.
Yeah, I think the next 2 weeks are pretty big. I mean, if you beat Missouri, which I think everybody thinks we should, obviously, you get another week of prep before Georgia. I would hope by, you know, Georgia game you're rounding into – some type of decent, consistent form, assuming there's no more COVID setbacks. And I didn't hear anything yesterday. And I know they test Monday or they test Sunday. You remember?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, I guess no news is good news on that front. So yeah, another week of practice. I don't know when they're going to start adjusting practice to be more game week like, because Pruitt said they were going to be more camp like for a little bit as they again try to get guys in shape. But no, take care of business Saturday, and then you got another week of prep for Georgia.
Do you think if we handle, not just, you know, barely get in there and take care of business, we handle Missouri with how bad Texas A&M looked last week, do you see, in your opinion, do you see noon or 3:30 for Georgia? Those two things hold.
What's the other option, Austin? I can't remember.
Florida A&M.
It's Florida A&M. That's why I brought up A&M. Sorry.
I got you.
Florida's got South Carolina.
And Georgia's going to win this week, right? No, they're playing Auburn.
They got Auburn.
If Georgia loses, it's going to go Florida A&M. If Georgia wins and Tennessee wins, man, I don't know. If all four teams are undefeated.
That's what I'm saying. Who do you go with?
Flip a coin. I don't know. I would think they go Georgia Tennessee because
I want to be CBS 3:30.
You get, they'd probably just go TV markets. I mean, you get Nashville and Atlanta. I mean, that's better than. I don't know. Florida A&M, you could use that same argument, I guess. Flip a coin if everybody's undefeated. I don't know.
I'm with Brad. Give us the Nooner.
Boy, if I get stuck with A&M Florida out here in Texas, I'm going to be so upset.
You don't get ESPN but, out there in Texas?
No, I'll get ESPN. I'm saying if they do what you said with the 330 thing.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
Just go mark it.
I don't. What gives us?
Am I understand it wrong?
What gives us a better chance of winning?
No, I'm saying it,
Georgia
I'll
at noon.
3:30. You think 3:30? Man, look, I mean, the two time the Dobsnell boot was 3:30. The year before that in Neyland was 3:30. I mean, I think 3:30 gives you the best chance.
I normally like going on the road for big games and playing them at noon. You get a sleepy home team. Usually, I mean, normally the crowd's bad, but the crowd's gonna be bad everywhere.
At Auburn.
I mean, yeah, but you're also going to get a sleepy away team, you know, having to travel down to Athens, man. I know it's not that far, but, I mean, you're still having to travel. Still 11 o'clock. You know, Knox is also on Eastern time, so, I mean, it's 11 o'clock for them as well. So, I mean, I don't know. There's pros and cons to both of them. It depends on, I guess, how nitpicky you want to get with it. I think putting the boys in the big stage, you know, for the first time, and we didn't get a 3:30 game last year. So I think those guys getting that opportunity – it's going to fire you up, man, because, you know, those guys pay attention to it. They may say that they don't, but they know what time slot they're in. They know what channel they're in, and they know who's covering that game. So that's going to be a big deal.
I would
deal.
Prefer 3:30 for personal reasons. I mean, you beat Auburn at noon. I mean, that was 11 local, so maybe that was one of the reasons. Whatever, I don't know. We'll let it play out.
Yep.
They'll tell us when and where.
Thanks for the call, Austin. Got to run. We got to get the rebuttal.
The one and only,
the Bear. What's up, Bear?
I'm flabbergasted to tell you the truth, guys. Austin's got a tenuous grip on reality, and I don't even know if he knows if he's familiar with what we like to call the truth. The Eye of the Sky does not lie. There is a podcast. Go back. You can go back and listen to it. He came on hysterical, histrionic. And said he wasn't going to name names. And I said, if you're going to come on the drive, you know, and you want to say something, don't be coy about it, name names. I said, I bash Houston regularly on here. I do love Houston. And then he said, well, and then he went into bashing Houston.
What was I being bashed for?
By him being a sheep for Pruitt, the way everybody sheeped it up for Butch.
I listened to the call live,
he was almost he was almost incoherent. Honestly,
I listened to the call live, and I don't recall any of that being the case.
Davey, I'm not talking to you right now. I'm talking to Houston and Nate.
And now you're saying the eye in the sky. You're wanting the facts.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you
the objective truth of your
had
truth.
The Rona. Maybe you're a long hauler, Davey. Maybe you've got some cerebral issues going on right now that you don't remember it right. I highly recommend you go back and listen to the podcast because it's all there in black and white. But for Houston or for Austin to come on here and try and drive a wedge between me and Chris is laughable. It ain't going to happen, Sanders.
I agree with you, Bear.
Exactly.
We're bros.
Exactly. So anyhow, I don't know. I can't believe you guys let tweet crap all over T. Martin like that.
He just says he's a big guy.
We weren't happy about it.
Hey, Bear, what are you doing at noon on Saturday?
At noon on Saturday?
Yeah. You working? You want to watch the game with me?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm working. I'm working. You know, I don't like watching games with people, man. And you've
he was so nervous 2017 when he watched it with me. You spilled that 44-ouncer.
All right, fine. You know what? I'm glad you brought that up, Hodges. I've been listening to your little radio show for a long time now. You keep bringing that up, man.
It was a traumatic event. I mean...
Not only did you forgive me that night, you left. I texted Russell and Chance in Atlanta. I was like, hey, man, I think Nate's really pissed. I just spilled like 80 ounces of Coca-Cola all over the production room. And they were like texting me back, you know, Bear, you're an idiot. And then, you know, I think Nate's off cooling off Houston. You know, he comes back with a half a gallon of milk and a half a pound of Oreos for my ass.
For you?
I mean, come on. Yes! Oh. We had cookies and milk that night while you guys were burning it down.
Sounds like a fun sleepover.
The game kicked off like 9:45. You remember that?
Bear, yeah, skip work and come watch the game with me and Russ.
Bring some cookies and milk.
No, man, I don't like watching games with Russell. He's way too loud. He doesn't understand. Russell's got a fundamental misunderstanding of the game of football.
Do we need to have a football game watching like tip segment or something? Like, to not is this like
it's five things that Rick Butler has seamlessly ripped off and wrote an article and put it out under your banner, Captain. It's, I mean, what's going on, Nate? I mean, what, you're losing control,
yeah, Nate.
Man.
You're asleep at the
Rick
wheel.
Butler plagiarizing Russell's crappy segment is five things.
It's a different medium. What are you talking about? Like, we got the radio, I mean, we got the website. These website guys are crushing it lately. They're killing it. We got Trey over at practice just crushing it for you guys, bringing you Rocky Top reports. And
Trey's in his damn living room, Nate. Come on.
Trey was one of the very few media members from this market that drove all the way to Columbia, South Carolina, even has the pictures to prove it, and said, right here for kickoff, while other people were complaining about, well, even though I'm in my basement writing about this game and not there, it's the first game I've missed in 28 years, yada, 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 yada. Trey made the trek and was there for Fox Sports Knoxville.
He did that to
it.
Get out of having to do the show with me and Russ on Friday. Come on.
Well, that beef, you guys, you'll have to take that up. I'll let you guys, you know, operate in your own little bubble there, so you hash that out on your show. Don't take up any more time at 3 and Out. We appreciate the call, though.
Wow.
Talk to you later, Bear.
That was an unceremonious dismissal there.
Oh, we're just up against it. He understands.
It's the business.
Yeah, he knows how it works.
I still don't know who to blame for me getting
pumped.
Yeah,
that really didn't solve anything.
Turn your mic off, Will.
Bear's contending that Austin said that you're sheeping it up for Pruitt the same way other people sheeped it up for Butch. But Austin's saying that's not what he said. I think that's the rub.
How was I sheep? Oh, for the raise and extension, I guess.
Oh, I guess that was it. Yeah.
That's what it was about.
All right, there we go.
Looks pretty good after your 1-0, if you ask me.
Our newest sponsor here at Fan Run Radio is FanDuel. Check out the FanDuel app, and you can go ahead and download it and get set for sports betting to be legal in Tennessee. It's not legal yet, but it is coming soon. And right now, FanDuel is giving users $50 in free bets just for signing up. There was some issue with the promo code yesterday, so maybe give it a minute, but make a note to sign up with FanDuel. And use promo code 3OUT so that they know we sent you right here on 3 and Out. That's promo code 3OUT. And you can go ahead and download the FanDuel app and get ready to go there. Take a look at it. We'll get that promo code situation worked out with FanDuel today. FanDuel is America's number one sports betting site, and we're excited to have them on board right here through the end of the year with Fan Run Radio.
Level of concern for Missouri.
1 out of 10. 10's like we're definitely going to lose.
Sure.
Or I'm concerned we're going to lose, I guess.
10 would be expecting a loss.
Okay. 3 or 4?
Okay.
Maybe 3. I think 3.
I feel confident we'll win, but I think it's going to be a lot closer than a lot of people are thinking. I think a lot of people are thinking we're going to beat them by like 2 to 3 touchdowns. I'm just like, eh.
I think I was reminded on Saturday how variable college football is, because I watched that A&M Vanderbilt game, and I mean A&M was you could tell they're the better team. But this is one of the plays that happened in that game. They had a punt returner catch the ball in the end zone and try and return it.
Smart.
A&M did. He caught a punt in the end zone, returned it out of the end zone, got to like the 10. They were talking about how dumb that was because he could have just had it at the 25 or whatever.
I think it's a bold strategy. I kind of like it because if you're the defense, you rarely see it. You don't know you can tackle the guy.
Well, they tried to tackle him, and somebody hit a dude with an illegal crackback block in the end zone, which is a safety. So Vanderbilt's cut the lead from 7 to made the game 7-5 on that play.
Yeah, and two SEC games went to the half, 7-5.
And A&M lost, obviously, a possession there. A&M had scored, you know, the touchdown. That was pretty early in the game. What I was surprised about is Vanderbilt was able to move the football on the ground pretty well. They had a true freshman quarterback. He threw two picks, either in the red zone or close. Vanderbilt was outgaining A&M big time early on. So, it's one of those games where I feel like if Tennessee plays well, yeah, they'll probably win by 14, 17, 20 points. But if they play poorly, I mean, it'll be just like last Saturday. You could end up in a one-score game in the fourth quarter if you kind of play stupid football. And I don't think they necessarily played stupid football on Saturday. But Austin brought up the start. I mean,
a couple players.
Well, yeah. We had some moments, but I don't think we had like an entire back quarter or anything like that. I was watching some clips earlier. I mean, Ty Chandler steps to take the blitzing guy on the outside. He's coming free. And the right tackle has even already pointed out, hey, this guy's coming. This is what we're doing. Help me over here. He took a guy. The dude's blitzing off the corner. He's coming free. Ty Chandler, though, sees another guy blitzing up the middle. And so you're taught, you know, work inside out. You know, take the guy as close as the quarterback. Well, so Ty Chandler, who has a guy coming right at him, turns and runs to take another guy who gets picked up
by two people
kind of late. And then that guy sacks.
He triple teamed him.
And then that guy sacks Garantano, and that leads to 4th and 19, and we're punting. Like,
that's a correctable mistake.
That's the kind of stuff you have to limit, because a lot of that, and all of a sudden you're in a one score game in the fourth quarter like we were Saturday night. I mean, my guess is that Missouri is as good or better than South Carolina for the season. Maybe about the same. I don't know what their over-under was. Anybody remember that?
I'm looking it up.
Missouri, I thought it was like 1.5.
Okay.
Or maybe 2.
So, I mean, maybe they're expected to be worse, but I don't know. I mean, they are still a completely unknown quantity to me. Because it tells you nothing to watch a team at that level get blasted by Alabama.
Yeah, I kind of wish they played somebody else.
The predicted score on Odd Shark is Tennessee 17.3, Missouri 13.9.
Oh, my gosh.
Low-scoring defensive game. I can actually see that being the case.
Surely not.
If we win,
we thought
17
we were
to
do a lot better
14,
last
I'll
year.
Gouge my eyes out.
Let me pull up the last couple of years.
Alabama rolled up 28.5. Like, surely we score 28 for the game. What's the JG number? 24?
24.
Surely we get 24 offensive points in this game, right? That's probably enough to win, honestly.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Like 24-17, I would think. And that's worst case. I mean, I would
24-20 was the score last year.
And who played quarterback for them last year?
Kelly Bryant.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Forgot about him.
Past 2 years, it was Missouri 50-17 and 18-17.
Yeah, that one up here was bad. Not fun. Okay. Missouri over under is 2.5. 2.5. South Carolina's was 3.5.
So basically, Vegas thinks South Carolina's a better team than Missouri because they probably have that game.
It could have to do with the scheduling, too. Missouri's 2.5, but they play Bama. South Carolina doesn't. So about the same, I guess.
All right.
They have Alabama, Tennessee, LSU, Vanderbilt, Florida, Kentucky, Georgia, South Carolina, Arkansas, Mississippi State. So I guess like Vanderbilt and Arkansas.
Vanderbilt's
and then
the
if
same.
They can get the South Carolina game. I guess that's kind of like where they're setting it.
Oh, yeah. So they're about the same.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. The FPI, who had us losing to South Carolina, has us as a 65.4% favorite over Missouri this week.
Amazing how that changes.
And the line continues to sit at 11.5.
I mean, you should win the game. Like, you have to win the game. This is one of those have to wins.
Good teams win. Great teams cover.
Mm.
We got to cover this week.
So we're just a good team.
Yeah. I guess we got to be great in week two.
It depends on when the bet was placed, though. So how does that work?
We should win this game by 2 touchdowns.
All right.
After this past week, we've moved up in the FPI to where they have us beating Kentucky.
Oh.
We're now at 51.7%.
Okay.
Probably a little bit due to Kentucky.
It's like 49%, I think, a couple of weeks ago. Still have us beating Arkansas and Vanderbilt. Those are pretty good. You know, I don't know how this is the case, but the second least likely game that we are to win is Auburn. Obviously, Alabama first, but says we have a higher chance of beating Georgia. Actually, I take that back. Georgia's 13.1%, Auburn's 14.1%. But Florida, 21.7%.
Mm. Road game, home game, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, tying up a loose end, Brian reminds me, Texas A&M plays Bama this week, so they're all four of those teams not going to be undefeated. We'll probably play Georgia at 3:30, which, if history is any guide, as Travis sent in, three of UT's last four wins versus Georgia have been at 3:30, 2007, 15, and 16. The OT loss at home in 2013 was also 3:30 CBS.
Bum, 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 bum.
Need that 3:30 game.
I mean, if you can, you know, put a whoop ass on Missouri, I would think that would help you get the 3:30 game. You beat Missouri by three, and you beat them 17-14. Like,
if you had to put money on it today, do you have the Vols covering against Missouri?
What's the number?
11.5.
Yeah,
opened at 10.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be 13.
I think they cover. I think we were really, really close to blowing South Carolina's doors off. I think we were really close to that.
It was another kind of slow start. I mean, it just was. I mean, that one touchdown to Palmer just it looked so easy.
Yeah.
But the defense kind of allowed South Carolina to stay on the field a lot when really just needed them to make, like, one impact play to put them in, you know, second and 12 or whatever, and then make two plays and get off the field.
Do we need that impact play on defense again this week?
No, probably not.
I'd take it.
I don't think they're – well, they couldn't run – I don't know. It's Alabama. I don't know. I don't know anything about Missouri. Could Missouri not run the ball because it's Alabama, or can Missouri not run the ball because they don't have an offensive line that can run the ball on anybody? I don't know.
How many – well, I'll just look it up real quick. I was going to see how many sacks Alabama had. Why'd you giggle at that?
No, I was watching a highlight of that other pass to
grow
Palmer.
Three sacks for Alabama. Missouri's defensive line had two sacks. They did have nine tackles for loss against Alabama. Alabama only had eight tackles for loss. Martez Manuel, 3.5 tackles for loss. Got to block that guy.
Yeah.
Does that concern you?
What?
I mean, they got nine tackles for loss against Bama.
It does a little bit because Bama's rushing numbers were pretty crummy, actually, for them at least.
They played a lot of young guys. Do you not think Alabama was probably just kind of?
Yeah,
we can win vanilla. Why go crazy?
Probably, but
that's probably the reason
A&M
looked like junk too. They probably have all their stuff saved for this week against Bama.
Sure they do, but you'd still think like Alabama just in the trenches would be able to kind of dominate that defensive line.
Well, sure, but when were the tackles for loss? Were they in the first half when Alabama was scoring, or were they in the second half when they brought in the next O-line?
Probably the second half.
That's when they were giving it to the freshman running backs and stuff. That's what I'm saying. Like, the box score is the box score, but in a blowout game like this where Bama gets up 28-0 in the first half, I don't know when the tackles for loss and the sacks occurred.
That's fair.
They need to have, like, by quarter, like a quarter box score. I could probably find that. I just don't really want to go to Alabama's website. I don't want to give them the click.
We'll come back. Final segment, hour number two. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. Welcome back into the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios Fan Run Radio. This segment brought to you by Knoxville Smiles. Check them out online, knoxvillesmiles.com. Make your appointment. Take care of your teeth in 2020. You can do it with Dr. Costa and Malone. They'd love to add you too. They're a group of patients. They always put their patients first at Knoxville Smiles. Check them out online, knoxvillesmiles.com, for all the details and to make an appointment.
I'm sorry if I sounded elitist when I said I've only sat in the upper deck once.
You're not sorry.
I was just trying to tell Nate I don't know the names of the sections.
The rows, you mean? The rows.
No, the sections in the upper deck.
I
rows.
Said it was double I.
I don't know where that
row
section
A.
is. That's what I'm saying. I don't know where those are.
Well, it's kind of the corner, but row A, I would think, is that first row in the little mini section in between the lower and the upper, which if you're sitting on row A of the upper, I feel like that's a great seat.
It might be.
I sat in row one, double C, I think.
I've never sat in the bleachers in the upper deck. I've been to the skybox and the little the little other box on the opposite side.
Now you're sounding elitist. Anyway, I sat.
I hate this. I hate sitting in the skybox.
First row of the upper deck on the 50 for
have an all-you-can-eat buffet
for Miami back in the day when they just.
Well, the food's good.
I mean, man, had a great view of them just carving us up with those route combos and stuff. That's a great view. First row of the upper.
I agree. That's where. Yeah. Well, I don't know what they call that little. It's not on the press box side. It's the opposite side. They got those little tiny. I don't know what they're called.
I've never sat on it, but the upper deck where you're in the north end zone and you can see directly across from the Jumbotron and you actually have a seat. It's not the bleachers. Mm-hmm. I always thought that'd be cool because you also got the shade. But as far as like looking at the actual scheme of the plays would be pretty cool. If anyone wants to donate those tickets to me, just let me know.
I actually really like end zone seats.
I just like being able to see the Jumbotron.
The video game view, you like that?
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong, the TV view is awesome, which would probably similar to the 50 first row. But I like watching the play develop. I sat in it was the lower deck. It was the furthest back you could be. I think we were on the last row of the lower deck for South Carolina or for Vanderbilt last year. It was awesome to watch Eric Gray's runs from that view because you could just see him. I mean, as soon as he got the ball on one of them, you're just like, yeah, he's going to score here.
I think I figured out. I think that I think row A and B, and at least in double I, is those two mini rows in between. Mm. And then there's rows 1 through 33 after that.
Gotcha.
This is according to the Garth Brooks seating chart, which for double I should be the same.
Rusty Vol 96 tweets in, says upper deck is underrated. I actually agree. I'd like upper deck seats.
Yeah, you do?
Yeah. I like being able to see more of the field.
West end zone.
Big field guy.
West side.
Yeah, there ain't no west end zone.
Yeah, I didn't mean to say that. I was just thinking of the east and sun being directly in my face as a student.
Yeah, west upper deck would be money. No sun. Just got to turn your head a little bit to the Jumbotron. My seats to see the Jumbotron. Well, I don't have seats this year. I got punked. But I got to break my neck to look at the Jumbotron.
Well,
my
got,
seat.
You got the money back, right? So are you going to buy seats now? Why didn't you buy seats last week?
What?
With the money you got back. They gave your season ticket money back. Why
right.
didn't you buy seats for every game?
Mm.
Okay. That's just an honest question.
Well, I didn't really want Missouri tickets.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why didn't you buy seats for just the games you wanted?
Who said I'm not?
Now you're too good for Missouri.
Now they're gone.
We are at a point now in year
now
three where we should be too good for Missouri. Yes, I will admit that.
I'll see what's still available.
For what?
For games.
Houston, does this make you uncomfortable?
What game did you want to go to?
No, I haven't even said what's going to make you uncomfortable. I've only sat in the upper deck on every game I've been to.
Why would that make me uncomfortable?
I wanted to make sure.
I just said the upper deck is underrated. Sheesh.
There's no more Florida or Alabama.
No more at all?
You're out of luck.
There's a secondary market. I know people. I have many connections.
So you're going to use your money just to buy off secondary. I got you.
Yeah, why buy five tickets when you can just use all that money on one ticket?
Yeah, we're not
it's your
worthy.
Money.
What?
We're not worthy to grace your presence.
I was making a joke about how expensive the one game I'm going to maybe try to go to would be. That was the.
Hopefully it's Florida for the East.
I was making myself look like an idiot.
Good
Florida
work.
For the East? Sound good? How much would you pay?
If it's for the East?
Florida for the East. Winner take
nope,
all.
Nope. Whatever I would pay, I would put the money on Florida money line.
Oh, gosh.
And just pray. That's what I would do.
I think you got to buck that trend. Just go Tennessee money line.
Hell, by Florida, there
all
might
chips
they,
in the same basket.
We might be at full capacity by Florida.
It's true.
We don't know. But yes, Davey, I do think we're at a point where we should be too good for Missouri.
I hope so. Especially at home, right? I mean, a lot of people are like, that South Carolina game, that was a road game. Hopefully at home.
What's the crowd going to be like? You said there's tickets available for Missouri?
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to be, I mean, I didn't even really know what to expect. South Carolina was fairly loud. It was a night game, and they might have been piping in music and crowd noise. I'm sure we're going to do that, too.
That noon game was pretty loud.
Noon games are always sleepy.
Had a bunch of people at that thing.
Well, I guess we got to give our predictions about what we think they'll do on third downs this year.
I don't know.
I'd rather them just improve on third down conversion rates for the offense, but it's another conversation.
Yeah, we're talking about defensive.
Yeah.
Stadium atmosphere.
1 of 11 is not going to cut it.
Gonna be able to hear Jeff Jarnigan really well.
Mm. Well, it's only south and north uppers available for the Missouri game. YY6 row 15 is what it says is the best available. So that's halfway up the uppers in the end zone.
North, right?
In the north end zone. Yep. Great view of the Jumbotron from there.
Mm.
$100 a piece. So there you go.
Weather looks good.
Yeah. It's gonna get cold today, right?
Yeah, I think the high is like 62, which is great because we still haven't got our part for the AC yet.
You still don't have air conditioning?
No.
We don't have a high above 70 until next Tuesday.
Holy moly.
All right, I got the third down. You ready?
Yeah.
We play the Three's Company intro music.
Why?
Third down, Three's Company. Anybody else?
That's
got any
hype.
Anybody else got any better ideas?
Probably a million.
The Three's Company theme song?
How does it go, Will?
I've never seen Three's Company. No.
This?
Sure. I don't think that's right. I don't.
It says Three's Company theme song.
Yeah, that's right.
Third down! Let's make some noise. Boy, that'd be hype.
You can't tell me
all 20,000 people just bobbing their head. Just, that's a good song.
Give us the
positive vibes only, man.
John Ritter, RIP.
What was the show? 10 Rules for Dating My Teenage Daughter or something?
He was good. I'm not sure on that.
I liked him.
But he was in Sling Blade.
He was. He was also in Problem Child. He was the dad. There might have been more than one. I think there was more than one. Yeah. That was a good flick there. We're going to go Orange Pants. You go Orange Pants for Missouri?
No.
Home opener, go home traditional. Opener.
You go traditional.
Okay.
Missouri doesn't.
It's yeah, like we're too good. I mean, we wore orange on the road, but it's on the road. You know, you got to kind of make it.
When? Not this year?
Last year.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Talking about Missouri last year, we wore orange pants.
Like, we went Stormtrooper.
You know, JG threw for 400 something yards in orange pants.
That's true.
Against Missouri last year.
It was eight simple rules for dating my teenage daughter.
Eight simple rules.
He actually fell ill while rehearsing and ended up dying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he died while they were doing the show. Not like there, but they, yeah. The show was still going when he passed away.
Yeah. R.I.P. All right, we'll come back. We'll kick off our great number segment. Three of the pro. I should have that ready for.
I don't know.
Sorry.
That's right.
Already closed that window.